as the Lord was bringing me back to himself so many years ago in the conversion, the first real conversion that just has deepened over the years, when that played out, when the Lord did that, there were two just huge, massively fundamental, essential, foundational things that he had to teach me, that he did teach me. And he taught them to me in a visual way, by way of the image of the cross, Christ on the cross, the crucifix that adorns every Catholic church. This is so, so central that the church says to each parish, this image of Christ on the cross needs to be central in every Catholic church. It's central for so many different reasons, but in my return back to the Lord at the end of college, it was the cross that the Lord used to teach me two things that I had to absolutely know and come to believe in the deepest way. The first was, by way of the cross, it was the Lord saying, Eric, this reveals to you the real weight of your sins. The Lord used the cross of Christ to make visible to me the reality of my sins that I had gotten just really comfortable kind of just pushing to the side and rationalizing away, saying, like, it's probably not that big of a deal. I don't think anyone's hurt by them or anything like that. It's just the typical way of thinking that we can go through. Only the reality of sin in its nature, especially as God sees it, and he sees it as it truly is, the reality of sin is that it is as stark and awful and as terrible as the Son of God dying on a cross. I mean, that's just the reality of sin. The crucifix reveals the reality of sin in its fullness. And the Lord needed to show that to me in order for me to appreciate what he was trying to do in my life, and in order to draw me away from a life that was not life at all, that would only lead to death in every way, spiritual at its heart, and then just all the unhappiness that sin brings, the Lord had to convince me that sin is not something that I could play around with and dismiss and just push off. And again, he did that in this visual way through the cross. And I needed to learn that. At the same moment, the Lord used the cross of Christ to reveal to me the depth, the full depth of his love for me. I needed to know that. I didn't know that in as deep of a way as he desired me to know. I had bits of it in my head, but had never had a profound enough experience of that love that I was living my life any differently. And so it was, again, through the cross that he showed me and taught me, this is the depth of my love for you. And I've shared with you the verse from St. Paul in his letter to the Romans that just cut to the core of my heart, when Paul says that God proves his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so in this one and the same moment, looking at the cross of Christ, the Lord showed me the depth of my sin, the reality of that sin, and the full depth of his love for me. Those two always go together. They are always joined together. The Lord is always at work revealing both of those things to us. Our utter need for him and the fullness of his love that comes to meet us in the depth of our need. Our readings today do that. These readings are so beautiful. Each of them in their own way reveal this. Going back to the Old Testament, even before the coming of Christ, The first reading tonight from 2 Chronicles, one of the history books of the Old Testament, it talks about just the awful sin that the Israelites got themselves into. We're told that they were adding infidelity to infidelity. They were practicing all the abominations of the pagan nations around them. They were polluting the Lord's temple. They mocked the messengers of God. They despised his warnings. They scoffed at his prophets. The scene in the narrative as it sets it up is really dramatic. They were so far from the Lord that the culmination of their sin was that their enemies marched into Jerusalem and just utterly demolished the city and the temple itself. This is the moment when the Babylonians haul those that were not killed, they haul them off to captivity in Babylon. It's the lowest point that the Israelites will find themselves, and it's because of their sin. But it's right in that moment, then, in the midst of their 70 years in exile in Babylon, that the Lord then shows the greatness of his mercy when out of the blue, the Israelites, they didn't do anything to deserve it or earn it or work for it. The Lord, through the pagan king, the Persian king Cyrus, just he decrees, all of you Jews who were hauled off into captivity by the Babylonians, whose empire Cyrus and the Persians had crushed, Cyrus says, you are free to go back home. And not only that, but I'm telling you that God, your God, has told me that you are to go back and rebuild your temple. It's just utter sheer grace. It's unmerited on the part of the Israelites. But that comes right at their lowest point. And this is what I mean when I say the Lord always does it this way. In the second reading, St. Paul to the Ephesians, he just goes just right to just the absolute heart of it. There's no narrative. It's just the announcement of the truth. We were dead in our transgressions. And that's the reality of sin. We were dead in our transgressions. But in that place when we were dead, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, he brought us to life with Christ, raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavens. And Paul says, all of this is by grace. It's not from you. It's a gift from God. It's not from any work that you did, so don't even think about boasting about it. It's the same thing. At the point at which we were dead in sin, Christ offers his life for us on the cross. In the gospel, Jesus, here in John's gospel, speaking to Nicodemus, he communicates this same truth here, not in a narrative, and not like Paul does, just kind of going right for the logical truth, but Jesus, in a more kind of poetic way, using imagery, he speaks of the reality that we had chosen not to believe in the Lord, and rather, he says, that people prefer darkness to light because their works were evil. Every time this reading comes up, I think about this. It's kind of a nasty image, but I think about like spiritual cockroaches. You know, like you flip a light on, and if you have cockroaches, you flip a light on in the middle of the night when you come down for a snack, and they scurry because they do not like the light. And Jesus is saying, my people have preferred darkness to light. And when the light is shining, they flee from it, he says, because their works are evil and they do not want their works to be exposed to the light. And that's the reality of it. But right in that place, Jesus says, in that place when you had preferred death and darkness to light and life, God the Father so loved you that he gave his only son so that you might not perish, but that you might have eternal life. And it's just a beautiful, poetic way of expressing the same truth, that at the point at which we were farthest, I don't, if you're an English speaker, unlike me apparently. Tell me after Mass which is the correct one. But anyway, when we couldn't get any more away from God, he sends his Son. And the beautiful thing is all of this, this mystery, it's captured in the crucifix. It simultaneously reveals to each of us the harsh reality of our sin and the full depth of God's love for us. And so having this presented so beautifully and powerfully in the readings, then we have to ask the Lord, Lord, do these two things for us tonight. Some of you, probably you're listening to me, and you might be in a place where you're like, I just don't see my sins being all that bad. And so we need to pray, Lord, let me see it as you see it. That's a really bold prayer, but I dare you to pray it, please. To ask the Lord to show us sin, to see it as he sees it. It's an incredible gift, but it'll break your heart. But it's the gift that we need. But perhaps some of you tonight, that's exactly what you need the Lord to do. For some of you, you've had the Lord do that in your life already, but he wants to take it deeper. He wants to confirm you in that. But we need to pray for that gift. Lord, let me see my sin as it really is. Not masked, not covered up, not made up to look really pretty. Because sin always wants to appear differently than it really is. You think about the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were tempted and Satan just said, this is the best thing ever for you. Like, have the fruit. You're going to get everything that you want. It always looks attractive. It's always shiny. It's always sparkly and it's always glittery. But tonight we want to pray, Lord, help us to see it as it is. Give us that gift. But then even more than that, tonight we want to pray, Lord, show us the depth of your love. In the cross, as we look upon your Son who's giving his life for us, help us to know and experience that you love us that much. Lord, I want to be changed by that reality of your love. I want to be free from any doubts I have, any of the things that get in the way of me, knowing that you love me that way, any lies in my head, in my mind that cause me to think that you don't love me, experiences I've had that have wounded me in a way that tell me that I'm not loved. Lord, heal all of that, that I might have an experience, a life-changing experience of this great love. Let's pray for that tonight, that the Lord would give us that twofold gift. He likes these two gifts being delivered together because it just gets us to the heart of it. We are sinners, we are, and we just have to be truthful about that. And the depth of his love is revealed for us, that he comes to us when we most need him, dead in our sins. Let's ask and beg the Lord tonight to give us that grace to welcome and receive powerfully these two great truths.